Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's another Monday here in the beginning of the month, July. What's the day? July 2nd, July 4th coming up this Wednesday. And so we have a big celebration, of course. Hopefully you're going to do something meaningful this week on July 4th. And whether you're happy with the political climate or what's going on in D.C. or not, July 4th really isn't about that. We need to remember that. And a lot of I deal with a lot of millennials and younger people who are really sour on the United States of America. But let's remember July 4th really isn't so much about the current condition of the country. It is celebrating our Independence Day. And when we broke away, you think it's bad now. You should have checked it out when we were living under the tyranny of the crown. So don't let the political conditions and things like that in America today in 2018 kind of soil what you're going to do this week on 4th of July. So make sure you kind of keep your head in the right place. And whether you're a super patriotic person or not, you should definitely be thanking the Lord that you were, by his providence, either born here or moved here. Because this is still, I believe, firmly the greatest country on the face of the planet. And somebody else that I think probably agrees with me on that is our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, a great partner here on the Steve Noble Show. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I do think America is still the greatest country on earth. I've traveled to other countries. I can speak firsthand from experiencing the way business and other things are done abroad. I'm so glad I was born in America, and I wouldn't choose that one bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think we all need to keep ourselves focused on that and make sure that we're praising the Lord for the fact that we live here. And although it can be a pretty ugly situation from time to time, and certainly when it comes to the financial issues, as we talk about. But the first Monday of every month, we do a full Money Monday show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com. But just as a reminder, why do we talk about money and finances and this issue on a regular basis on the show? Certainly not every day, but we do Money Monday updates with David all the other Mondays of the month, and then the first Monday we do a full show. But 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions, and the Gospels, amazingly, 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses specifically on prayer, less than 500 verses specifically about faith, which of course we know the subject's all over the place, but more than 2,000 verses specifically on money and possession. So since the scriptures talk about it so much, we make it a regular part of the show. And David has been just a faithful brother in Christ and just an excellent guide for us. And looking at it, the markets were down earlier today, and then looks like they're finishing just slightly ahead, but certainly hasn't been very pretty recently. So is that kind of tariffs again, or what's going on now?
Yeah, we started out this morning where it was a solid sea of red, starting up the second half of the year. So across the markets, whether it be the Dow, the NASDAQ, or the S&P 500, just a string of red. And it was mostly because of tariffs. So we'll see how that affects a short week of trading, because we're going to be off on Wednesday and a short day for tomorrow trading. But tariffs are definitely back in the news. There's been a lot of rhetoric back and forth on Friday last week, even Sunday. And the start of today, a lot of tit for tat on that.
Yeah, and so that's we just kind of need to understand, don't we, David, that this is just going to be a part of our kind of weekly economic news, and it's going to be kind of this up and down ride, it seems like, based on what the Trump administration's doing and talking about on this issue of tariffs.
Well, you know, Canada on July 1st, which was last week, they announced their list of retaliatory tariffs that went in effect on July 1st, and it's whatever the United States has done, Canada is responding. They said they don't want to, but they're forced to, and they have to protect their own country. The EU is threatening $300 billion of retaliation if the U.S. moves ahead with the auto tariffs. Trump, President Trump announced last week that they might slap on a 20% tariffs on all auto imports. And as a result of that, it actually could affect the automobiles costing $5,800 per vehicle. So, I mean, it's this is coming from the automotive trade industry, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers Group, representing General Motors, Toyota, and Volkswagen. So there's that that's going on. China's throwing in their hat in tariffs, 300 items that are going to go into effect on July 6th. And just the list goes on, and I'm sure once that happens, there'll be a response from the White House. All in all, Morgan Stanley said this is a vicious cycle which has emerged and will only end when stocks dive. So, I mean, that's the big, strong quote on the reality of really where we're at.
Well, do you think it's going to just remain, like, are we going to look at this as the rest of 2018, David, or do you think this is going to calm down at some point?
Well, at some point it's going to calm down, but we haven't even got into the, this is, you know, there's a difference between what Wall Street is saying and what Washington's saying. Washington is saying we're just having a little a heated conversation like any family dispute would be. That's the type of scenario they're saying. Wall Street is saying this is a trade war. Technically, it's not a trade war yet, but we're on the threshold of it. This week is really the start of a trade war. So look at what has happened already. We've had a 10% correction without a trade war this year because of tariffs. I put out a newsletter that came out last Thursday, and I said in that newsletter, I'm making a short-term prediction of another 10% pullback in the Dow, and now I'm saying it on your national radio, and I believe this is going to happen this year or by the first quarter of next year. The prediction comes with a rider. It's dependent on more tariffs being implemented. I believe, unfortunately, those will go into effect, and as a result of that, that's going to be the catalyst for triggering another 10% correction or greater in the stock market between now and the first quarter of next year.
So when we talk about that, is that where the phrase support level comes in? Because we've mentioned that before earlier in this year when we had a 10% correction down. Is that kind of that phraseology? And give us a quick refresher on that.
Yeah, the support level, there's different support levels. There was a major one that when we had a 10% correction, we didn't break down through that support level. That just happened last week. Last week, the Dow broke through a support level that is called the 200-day moving average. That was done on June 25th, actually, when the Dow closed sharply lower, falling 328 points or down 1.33% for the day. Just a simple understanding of a 200-day moving average.
Well, hold your
average,
thought on that. Steve, we're backed up against a commercial break. Just hold your thought on that, David. We're talking to David Fisher. It is Money Monday here on the Steve Noble Show. LandmarkGold.com is their website. We'll be right back. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. You can also sign up for the podcast there. So if you're not able to join us live or you miss a day, vacation weeks like we have this week, whatever's going on, you can iTunes, Stitcher, all kinds of places you can get the podcast. But The Steve Noble Show, formerly Call to Action Radio, that's really how we started all the way back in 2004. Because I was a Christian activist doing all kinds of stuff like that in the political realm. And then when radio started in the fall of 2007, I was on Saturdays for 3 years, then switched to a daily format, and then it went from Call to Action This Week to Call to Action Today. And then about a month and a half or 2 months ago, we switched it. It's kind of the logical thing in talk radio, be it Christian or secular or otherwise, is the host name, and that's generally what how people relate to the show is to the host. I resisted that for years, actually, because to me it always seemed a little self-serving, but got over that and just the effectiveness for radio and web stuff and even Facebook Live, whatever. That's the industry norm, so finally pulled the trigger on that. So now the Steve Noble Show, but the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and you can get the podcast and stuff there as well. Today, as we do every Monday, most Mondays are a Money Monday update when we do that in the last segment of the show. But on the first Monday of the month, like today, we do a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, who is my brother in Christ and a trusted counsel on these difficult financial issues and talking about the market. And not just the market, but financial issues in general in terms of kind of the meta narrative, what's going on in the U.S. economy, the government, banking, as well as around the world, because the the world just ain't as small or as big as it used to be. So a lot of things get onto our page and onto our radar screen as investors here in America when things are happening around the world. They tend to ripple through here, and what happens in America, of course, ripples around the world. So we were just talking about before the break, David, kind of a support level in the stock market, and as much as it's come down in the last few weeks, and just kind of a quick refresher on that. And then we're going to switch topics and talk about something that I saw in the news recently that was not good news on the banking side. But real quick, let's go back to what the support level is and what it means for us as investors.
So we went down 10% prior to hitting the support level. And then after that, Steve, last week we hit the support level, broke through it. It's called the 200-day moving average. It's a major floor that supports any market. And when a market breaks through this, it typically goes lower. So the Dow broke through its 200-day moving average, and this was a 501 consecutive day trading streak. So in other words, for 501 days, the Dow has not gone below the support level of a 200-day moving average. It's the third largest run in the history of the Dow. The previous ones were 652 days that lasted and ended in 1956, and a 715-day stretch, which ended Black Monday, October 1987. So this is a very significant thing. What happened in the Dow doesn't automatically mean that the Dow is going to fall apart. Obviously, it's not. But it means that there's a lot of pressure to go down lower to another support level, which could be as much as 10% lower. That's one of many reasons why I made this prediction in this newsletter. I got another one in the newsletter. You'll have to get it to get the other prediction, though.
Yeah, got that. And we've been David and I have gone back and forth on the show for a couple years now. And at the beginning of this year, David, we talked about a bunch of things that you were predicting going to happen last year. And again, this isn't like, hey, I got a word from the Lord and he's got a Ouija board and all that kind of stuff. This is just as a result of studying and over 20 years of experience in the industry. And so when we talk about predictions, it's based on reality and what's going on in the market at the time and then the circumstances, not only in the U.S. side, but around the world. And that's where David's been just a great blessing for all of us here on the show. And out there, you in the audience, because he's got great information and great insight, and that helps us to kind of see what's coming in the future. But that's all based on reality when we talk about that. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that we have to get used to. I say this often. It's not your dad's stock market anymore. It's not just buy them and hold them, and it's real simple, and you get your IBM and your top five stocks, blue chips, and everything's going to be fine. The world just isn't that simple anymore.
Yeah, we have with computers trading it, and now we have international trade going on. We have banks leveraging money. It is totally a different world than even it was before year 2000. So, I mean, it's quite different, and we got to change as the time has changed and be relevant not only to the gospel out there, but relevant to our own money.
Absolutely. Great point. And I read some things recently online about a stress test, and I knew what they were talking about because you had educated us through the show here. But what is the stress test? What does that apply to, and why does it matter?
Well, a stress test is placed on a bank or a corporation or a pension to see how healthy they are and how much they will survive during a financial challenge. And the results have come out. There's been actually two stress tests done. One the Fed has done, and another one was done on U.S. pensions. And so let's talk about the Fed for a second. They just came out, and the one of the largest banks in the world, Deutsche Bank, flunked, unfortunately. Now, I know some people are wondering, why in the world is Deutsche Bank, a German bank, being put to the test by the Fed, which is United States? How does that compete? How correlate, excuse me? Well, simple as this. The father bank, or the original bank, is based out of Germany. And that has a subsidiary of banks in the United States. And any banks in the United States that are tied into the Fed, which Deutsche Bank is, has to go through this stress test. And so after the test, Germany, the largest lender in Germany, and probably one of the largest lenders in Germany, is financially insolvent. And we talked about this on your program a couple years ago. Their subsidiary in America flunked, and this doesn't allow them to send money back to their homeland to support the failing bank in Germany. So this is a big deal because the bank in Germany is three times larger than Lehman Brothers when Lehman Brothers brought down the system in 2007.
Man.
So this is why we've watched Deutsche Bank. We haven't talked about it much. They've gone through a whole big problem of their own. Looks like they recovered from it, but now they're actually getting graded and they got an F.
Yeah, and so that's a scary thing because when we think back to 2008, we think about the bailout, we think about these big tests that the big banks that we would assume can't fail, but then you have a stress test, which is literally what we would think of in regular language. If it's like you're going to go get your heart tested, David, and they put you on the treadmill, and let's see how your heart does under duress or under stress. How could the condition of a bank like Deutsche all the way on the other side of the Atlantic affect us over here in America?
Well, they do a thing called leverage money. In fact, big banks, there's an article that is titled Big Banks Are Once Again Taking Risks with Complex Financial Trades. And what it is, Steve, there's a loophole in the United States banking system that banks can now evade regulation by offloading their trades to a foreign subsidiary. And these big banks are now skirting the rules that were put in place post-2008 on having safe, complex financial instruments to help not have another 2008. So they're getting around this and making a lot of money. That's what caused the problem in 2007. They were doing risky, speculative trades that made them a lot of money, but it also brought the system down. The way they're getting around it is having an offshore corporation. So this is the concern about it, is that there's no red light to stop this behavior, unfortunately. And there's also six other banks that are kind of on the sidelines watch list that might be in jeopardy. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, just to name a few household names, JP Morgan Chase,
and we'll
American
talk about,
Express.
Because that brings up
so
what
on.
I mentioned a minute ago, the bail-in. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Steve Noble Show with David Fisher. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, July 2nd, coming up on the Independence Day, which, of course, is Wednesday. I won't be live that day. We're doing a live show tomorrow, a book I just read recently, which is really a fascinating thing that a lot of us don't think about as Christians, as followers of Christ. Oftentimes, I think more often than not, really, we take our pastors for granted. We don't really think about life on their side of the aisle, so to speak. But this little book I just read by a pastor, actually, who lives in North Carolina, not that far from me, he's going to make the drive in here tomorrow, Lies Pastors Believe. And I had never really thought, I've read some things and investigated some things about the life of a pastor, but this was really an eye-opening little book. So you want to listen tomorrow and maybe encourage your pastor to tune in tomorrow, because this is I was shocked at the power and how profound this message was in this book. And it's really kind of a simple, short book. It's not a very long one at all. I don't even think it's 100 pages. But we'll have the author in here tomorrow. And it really made me much more aware of some of the challenges that are unique to pastors and their families and the things that they face. They face sin and temptation and disappointment and loneliness, all kinds of things that we face. But oftentimes, I think most of us, truth be told, take our pastors for granted. So tomorrow, I think you're going to find your heart is touched by the subject, and hopefully we're going to be able to bless pastors and help pastors, and it'll be an encouragement to them as well. So I would suggest to you encourage your pastor to tune in tomorrow, or at least refer them to the podcast after it's all done and said, and having some tech issues on Facebook Live, but hopefully we'll be back on tomorrow and you take advantage of that as well. And then you can always share it on Facebook. So let's make sure we pay attention to that. I think you're going to be surprised at how much there is that we need to think about, pray about, and ways to support our pastors today. Talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as always, is their website. And David and Landmark have been just great supporters and partners here on the show for a couple of years now. And not just that, but just the amount of wisdom and information and insight he brings to the air each week when we do these Money Mondays. And again, on the first Monday of the month, we do a full show like we are today. The subsequent Mondays, like a week from now, it's just a little Money Monday update that we do at the end of the show. But their website, as always, landmarkgold.com. LandmarkGold.com, LandmarkGold.com, and just great information that's available there. But talking again to David Fisher today, and we were talking about kind of coming through the stress test, talking about banks and Deutsche Bank, which is such an enormous bank that we have to pay attention to it because those ripples move around the country. But something we have talked about in the past and haven't talked too much about it all that recently, David, is a bail-in. So let's talk about a bail-in again. I think if you say bail-out, everybody remembers that, Bush 43, Obama. But a bail-in, I would put it kind of similar topic, but a totally dissimilar impact. So do we need to worry about it, and what are they again?
Well, a bail-in is where the country goes internally into their citizens' bank accounts, pensions, retirements, 401ks, IRAs, and such, and seizes a portion of those assets to support the overspending of that country or the deficit that they have that they need and immediately taken care of. This has happened already in the last 6 years in 9 countries. 8 of the 9 are European. The 9th one is South American, Argentina. U.S. has passed identical laws since 2007, and so they're in place. We wrote a white paper on it that they can call my company and get. The bail-in moved from the front burner to the back burner. And now it looks like that back burner, it's getting heated up a little bit, and it might move to the front burner where we might need to be concerned about it. I'm keeping my eye on it. I'm not as alarmed as I was before, but it's not gone away. That's the unfortunate thing. It's rearing its head when we get into the financial side of our country and not being able to pay for it. We'll probably talk more about this in the future, but there are a little bit of symptoms of saying we're headed that direction, like the pension system. There's several pensions, 10 of them in major retirement plans in 10 selected states. 2 were just reported by a company called the Pew Charitable Trust, and they're saying that this went under a stress test and 2 flunked. The state of New Jersey and the state of Kentucky state pensions are insolvent. Currently, they crunched the numbers, and in the year 2000, they were fully funded, but now they're only funded at 31%. So who has to make up the difference? Taxpayers. That's called a bail-in.
Yeah, I'm looking at Business Insider. This is an older article from March of this year. And the title was scary enough. The U.S. pension system has gotten so bad that Congress is planning for its failure. And a couple highlights from this. Congress added a provision into the new budget deal that uses federal funds to bail out hundreds of pension plans. The government is facing a $7 trillion, with a T, $7 trillion funding gap in its pensions. And one study found corporate pensions alone are struggling with a shortfall of more than $500 billion, with a B, dollars. I have several family members that live in Illinois and in the Chicago area. And the pension plans in Illinois, the state pension plans, a bunch of stuff with the municipalities, fire, different things like that, just a total train wreck. This looks like another bubble that's going to burst. And in this case, that's where the bail-in, I guess what you're saying, David, the government could, they get desperate. Where are they going to go get money? Well, they can come into our, you know, retirement accounts and basically lift it out of there. And I think is the most famous one that's happened in the last several years, probably what happened. Was it Crete? Was it in Greece? Where was that? Where they literally
Cyprus.
Overnight.
Cyprus. Yeah, Cyprus. Cyprus, people, banks closed on a Friday and expecting to go to down the bank on a Monday when they opened, and they never opened on a Monday. And anywhere from, depending on the type of account, 10 to 50% of the people's funds were seized, not given back to their citizens. They got a note in the bank as a failing bank in a failing country. And banks finally reopened a little over 2 weeks later, but it caused a financial calamity in Cyprus.
Yeah, and some of these avenues that the government would need to pursue are in place. Some of that came through Dodd-Frank, is that correct?
Yeah, we have a white paper called The Coming Bail-In. It's all documented in there. It's pretty shocking what our country has done in setting this all up for legislation. Sounds kind of conspiratorial. I get it. I'm not that. As you know, we've been together for a long time. I resist that kind of nonsense. And I couldn't believe some of it I was reading myself, so I put together a white paper so there's no hearsay in it. And it's fully documented. You can Google it. I've got all the information off the internet from very reliable sources. So, but it is a booming, growing problem that has not been fixed, and it needs to be fixed during this boom. of the economic boom we're having. Unfortunately, I don't think we have enough time before the downturn happens a couple of years from now for it to be fully funded.
Yeah, and one of the things that you're mentioning, white papers and just great information that's available, the website landmarkgold.com, but one of the new ones is called Some Use Their Crystal Ball, I See the Obvious, which I was mentioning earlier when we use the word predictions, and sometimes people go, oh gosh, here we go. But that's not what we're talking about. Literally, like you said in this new white paper, Some Use Their Crystal Ball, I See the Obvious. What's in that particular white paper? What kind of information is there?
Okay, well, that's a newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter. That specifically is on the two major predictions that I'm making moving forward. I just listed one today about a 10% correction, but it also goes in depth why I'm saying that. It also at the beginning of the newsletter, lists eight predictions that I made already that came to pass, and much of it has nothing to do with gold. It's just financial predictions on different markets like Bitcoin and government doing this, and then the Fed doing this, those things. We have a couple white papers. One is called Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate, which our most newest white paper, talking about bubbles being formed. And then we also have the previous one where the coming bail-in, which talks about how our country has set up similar laws to seize people's assets.
Yeah, and that information is available at landmarkgold.com. So what about the purpose of gold? And obviously precious metals is something that you've specialized in for over 20 years now. In the environment that we're in, and just kind of the general purpose of gold specifically, and then what are some of the misunderstandings that are common out there about precious metals? And I know I had a lot of them myself before you started to educate me.
Well, obviously, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Scripture says put a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. And, you know, none of us know what's going to happen next. But the people sense in their spirit, Steve, that something's not quite right financially on a foundational level. And we really didn't fix everything back in 2007 until now. So this feeling of it might come back to haunt us. That should not be ignored. That's our spirit talking to us. And if people are sensing that, that's a urgency to say, you know, let's get some more information. Let's make some understanding of what is causing that feeling of witnessing in my spirit. And once you read some of the facts, this will help you saying, why gold? Because in 2007, gold went up 56% while stocks dove 45%. And it took stocks quite a long time, 5 to 6 years to break even, and gold doubled in value in 3 years. We're in a bubble again. We're forming a bubble, and Alan Greenspan says bubbles seem to break out again and again, yet there's a long history of forgetting those bubbles. But once that memory is gone and the bubble breaks, the result is a dramatic 180-degree switch from exuberance to fear.
Yeah.
And we're sounding the alarm, Steve, that there is bubbles being formed. Our debt is a bubble. There's bubbles in the pensions. There's bubbles that could be triggered by this tariff. And it's not the sky is falling. You're not going to go use gold to go to the grocery store.
Right, right.
But it's a hedge against all this.
Yeah, well, some more issues about that, some more misconceptions that we run into. And then we're going to talk a little bit about 4th of July in general with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you, talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And their website is always landmarkgold.com. Just a great partner and supporter of the show and the ministry here for us. And great information and great insight and great wisdom that David always brings to bear each Monday. And again, if you're newer to the show, we do Money Monday updates. Except for the first Monday of the month, which happens to be this one. And then we do a full show and touch on a full range of issues with respect to the market and investments and what's going on in the world of finance, and try to do that in a way that's understandable. I'm kind of more like you in the audience than I am like David. I don't have David's level of expertise, so I tend to come at it and ask questions. That's my perspective as a regular investor with a wife, a family, and concerns about the future and about the present. So I really am, like I say often, people say, who's your audience? And I'm always like, I'm my audience. I'm 52. We do okay. We don't make a ton of money. We have a little bit of financial stress here and there, and with four kids, and I have a pretty normal life, believe it or not. And so that's why I come at the show all the time like that. I'm a little bit closer to the pew than I am to the pulpit. So that's kind of the way we come at it when we do Money Mondays with our good friend David. So it's always super helpful for us, David Fisher at Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And we were talking, David, a little bit about some of the misunderstandings about precious metals. And certainly before you and I ever did radio together, we spent a lot of time on the phone because I had a lot of concerns. You hear all kinds of stuff, whether it's Glenn Beck or wherever else. And it starts to sound like some of these gold companies, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. And so what about that? Are there a lot of irreputable, and I'm not asking to name names or anything, but are we right to be concerned about some irreputable companies and things out there in the precious metals world?
Well, in the 25 years I've been doing this, Steve, I've seen some of those companies and I've heard some of the things that were said. The sky is not falling. Silver is not going to $100 an ounce in the near future or this year or $35 an ounce this year. Although there are some companies that have nothing to do with silver and gold that are saying we're going to have some big upticks happening in the market. So one's calling for $1,400 gold, and that's Merrill Lynch, by the way. Yeah. And they're saying silver is going to break $17. I think those are aggressive numbers on the $1,400 and probably more realistic on the silver. But the $35 an ounce and saying that the dollar is going to crash and you're going to need silver to go to the grocery store, that's not real. That's not even how the currency market trades. It's literally almost an impossible feat. And I can explain a lot more in future podcasts or future radio station that we can go over that. But you're not going to use your gold and silver to go to the grocery store or as money. It's a hedge against money.
Yeah, and sometimes when I'm listening to Glenn Beck, and I'm not just picking on him because it's easy to do, but oftentimes when he's talking about it, he talks in kind of, there's some hyperbole there and a little bit of paranoia. I don't think Glenn Beck is a born-again Christian personally, so I don't think he has the joy of the Lord. And you can hear that in his show and in the way he handles things. But when it comes to his talking about gold and then food supply and all this kind of stuff, it always sounds a little paranoid to me and definitely built on a lot of fear. And, of course, we both know as followers of Christ, we haven't been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so fear isn't really a part of the deal for us. But we're supposed to, that just like the New Testament says, what king goes off to war but doesn't first count the cost? So we're called to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and to pay attention and to be good stewards of our finances. But fear should never be a part of our lives unless it's just a healthy fear of the Lord, which is more like reverence. What about if you're going to invest in gold, David, what about like gold coins versus bullion or gold bars? Versus, I have some friends that just invest in funds, like almost like a mutual fund that invests itself in gold. What are the differences between those, and what are some things that we should consider?
Well, and we've talked about this before. I'm a regular contributor for TD Ameritrade. In fact, tomorrow morning I'm going to be on the futures program with Ben Lichtenstein. They asked my opinion on the fundamentals of gold and silver, and it's more for a technical trading aspect on people who trade gold in the market and paper. But it's really not buying gold. You're buying an index that is tied to gold. If we have a bail-in, that's not going to support that. If we have inflation, it probably won't do that either. So there's more effective ways when you actually hold physical product and you get out of the system, not to sound conspiratorial, I don't mean it that way, but your money is, how you become, you're backing your currency by gold, you got to have gold in your hands. He who owns the gold makes the rules, and it's a physical, it's not paper. You're still on the index paper side of things. And just a side note with that, those are contracts that are leveraged contracts, and they can fluctuate up and down with no physical movement in gold. It's because of the volatility of it. So physical gold has different markets in it, and we have a paper on this called Categories in Gold and Silver, and I can go in depth more on that on an individual level, but there are different categories. You mentioned a couple, old coins versus bullion products like bullion bars and bullion coins like the American Eagle, Krugerrand, Maple Leaf, things like that. Anything modern minted is a bullion product. Most people, once they get their education, they tend to shy away from that product because it involves government intervention, reporting requirements on the back end, and confiscation issues historically have come to pass in that. So they want to get their money safe from the government. They love our country, but they don't trust it financially.
Most
people go the other direction where you get safety from the government intrusion. There's no reporting, buying or selling. selling, and it also historically outperforms the bullion markets.
And we're talking again to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. Their phone number is 844-879-8882. And do you find that people, a lot of first-time people that you are talking to, David, have a lot of the same kind of concerns and questions, that there's generally just not a lot of great information for the average investor when it comes to precious metals?
You know, when they call us, Steve, the first thing that they sense is there's no pressure. The second thing they sense is that we make it so simple for them to understand. And when they get the packet, even though most of them don't read 100% of it, because there's a lot of information there, we help people on a one-by-one basis and share with them a thing called three columns. So if you bought gold or think about buying gold and you've never heard of the three columns, call my company. You'll learn about it. That's the biggest eye-opener. You'll know more than 95% of the people who either bought gold or wanting to buy gold or silver. So we're big on education, we're big on strategy, and we're big on relationships.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that about you guys. Well, let's turn the corner a little bit. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and it's popped in a couple of other times. But the 4th of July, which tends to change a little as we get older, I think you and I mean, when I was a kid, I was just thinking about, you know, what kind of stuff can we blow up, and is it a good excuse to go out and make a lot of noise and stuff? But for you as a Christian, David, as a businessman, as an American, what's 4th of July like for you? What are you guys going to do? What's your family going to do?
Well, every year it's a little bit different, but it's based around family. It's not based around fireworks per se, although that's part of the attraction. It's really the core is, let's celebrate why we're a unit, why we're a family, why we get together as friends, and what are we thankful for being Americans, and what helped us get to this level. Who gave their life? What does America stand for?
Yeah.
And so it's for, instead of, you know, outwardness of what can I blow up as a kid, and, you know, I got all kinds of stories about those,
yeah, of course, most of
those
us
times
do.
In my life, and I got all 10 fingers.
Oh, yeah, praise the Lord.
So that's good. But, you know, that was one of the biggest holidays of the year that I liked was the 4th of July, because I loved fireworks, seeing how much we could do in blowing something up, you know, growing up on a farm and four brothers. So, but today it's quite different. I'm looking at relationships and, you know, where is our country at compared to where it has been, and, you know, what's important to me.
Yeah.
Last year we went and saw some fireworks down the street close to our house. This year it's going to be a little bit more down key. And a couple years ago we went out to San Diego where we saw big fireworks.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
That was kind of get out of the heat. We're getting out of the heat here coming up in about a month.
Well, you're in Phoenix, so is that even possible?
I don't know. Getting out of the heat?
Yeah.
I think it's about 113 degrees today.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm in an air-conditioned office. But it's when you get to the teens, it's hot. It's, I mean,
oh, my goodness.
It's about a month and a half, 2 months of that type of heat. And, you know, we enjoy the other 8 months, but, you know, so you try to get a break out of it, and usually 4th of July is the kind of the time to get out of it. But this year we're kind of staying put and hanging out at home.
Well, I mean, we talk about it a lot on the air, but we talk about the debt structure of the country and all kinds of things going on that are negative. And you know, we're just being accurate. We're not bashing America. There's, you know, we have plenty of blemishes in this country. But do you still have hope just in the thought of America, the American experiment, our future, David, despite our financial mismanagement and things, are you still a hopeful American?
I'm a hopeful American. I just think that the wall of fixing it is much higher and harder to climb, because we should have, you know, dealt with our debt 20 years ago when it was so much easier to deal with, and now it's three times higher. And, you know, we have a lot more of the problems like pensions, like we mentioned today. So, and we have history of bail-in. So, the fix problem is more elusive now, but I'm still hopeful, because the Spirit of God, in my opinion, is still rests over America. And if we turn from our wicked ways, God will heal our land, is what Scripture says. And that's what I believe in, the almighty hand of God.
Amen. David Fisher, as always, thank you so much for being with us again today and helping us out with great wisdom, great insight. David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, their phone number, 844-879-8882. David, have a great week. Have a great time with your family on the 4th, and God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon.
You too, my brother.
All right. Thanks, pal. We'll talk again soon. And David, it's always great to have him on, and he loves the Lord, former youth pastor, and just a great expert on these financial issues. Again, tomorrow, I hope you'll tune in. If you're a pastor, I especially hope you'll tune in. But also tell your pastor. Invite him to tune in with you, or they can check it out online when the podcast goes up at thestevenobleshow.com. We should be back on Facebook Live tomorrow. And just go to Facebook and put in the search box, The Steve Noble Show. You'll find it. And look forward to talking to you then. It's going to be a very important discussion on The Steve Noble Show. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.